Hello, hello everyone. GMGM. Welcome to Web3 Magic Podcast. Here I talk with builders of some of the most interesting projects across Web3 space. Interesting by the use case, not by the price of a token. So let's warm up with music and let's jump into today's episode. Hello everyone, welcome back to Web3 Magic. I'm here today with Patrick, and we've connected with Patrick, I think it was Istanbul, or
We were at DevConnect.
All right. And before we actually managed to set up a time to record, Patrick changed projects, and this one is actually interesting and very exciting. Especially for those who like ink, like me, and probably Patrick. But it's a nice combination of, you know, connecting blockchain with art. And it's not purely about NFTs, because we had NFT projects on the podcast before. So welcome, Patrick. Happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So obvious question I always start with, how you got to crypto?
Yeah, so my journey is probably similar to many others. So I started buying crypto in 2015 as just a speculative asset. So I heard about cryptocurrencies. I'm typically an early adopter of a lot of tech, and I entered the cryptocurrency casino. So at the time, there was a very little utility for these tokens that I was purchasing. The goal was token go up, and that's what I was playing. So very early buyer.
Some people got stuck in that, you know, till now.
I mean, we can get into that in a moment too. I was buying Bitcoin. I was buying Ethereum. And then in 20 NFTs. And kind of NFT V1 came out. And for me, that was the first real use case to purchase crypto and do something with these tokens. So I got really into NFT projects. I purchased many. And yeah, that's been kind of the beginning of my ride.
Nice, nice. A lot of people actually, which I speak with, start in like 2015, 2016. It seems to be like a break-even year. There are very few OGs who started before. I talked with some people who started like 2012, 2011. That's early. But 2015 seems to be typical start for people who are well-established in crypto right now, let's say. So when did it... So I assume when you got excited about, you know, DeFi, at the first, you didn't really work in the space, right? So you probably had like a normal tech job.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say it was DeFi. It was buying, my on-ramp was Coinbase, very centralized exchange. I didn't have a self-custodial wallet until I started buying NFTs. When I first started with crypto, my background's in big tech. So I was early at Facebook. I was part of a team that launched advertising at Instagram. I then went to Pinterest in order to oversee their API program. What really got my spidey senses going about what blockchains could represent is when I tried to build a social network for live music fans called fans.com. Mm-hmm. Our goal was to connect people that were attending concerts before, during, and after those events. I was unable to find product market fit because the data necessary to connect people that were going to concerts was controlled and owned by big ticketing companies. So think Ticketmaster, Access, Eventbrite. And they were they held that data as their secret sauce. So that was the first time I thought about how this world of data needs to truly be democratized. And access to data in order to fuel innovation is critical. Afterwards, I went to Experian. I was on their senior leadership team in order to learn more about data. And then I also spent some time at Google before jumping into crypto full time with Unlock Labs, the creators of Unlock Protocol.
I see. Cool. So when was it when you jumped into like Web3 full time?
Yeah, so I joined Julian Genestu, the creator of Unlock Protocol, at the beginning of 2022. So if you're not familiar with Unlock Protocol, it creates memberships as NFTs. It's a smart contracting system that enables anyone to create a time-bound membership that enables things like automated recurring subscriptions, tickets, certifications, trials, anything where there's a start and end date. So through that experience, I worked with hundreds of crypto native, crypto noob, and crypto dreamers that were looking to build businesses on blockchains. Our purpose was not speculative. These NFTs were used in order to create predictable and recurring revenue models for businesses that was truly decentralized, with payment rails on blockchains that they own and control.
Well, you know, Unlock is actually very cool. It's one of the projects I like a lot. And I think a lot of listeners should take notice. If you guys don't know Unlock, you should take a look at it. And maybe Patrick will help me to get someone on a podcast to talk about it a little bit more. Anyway, so we are at Unlock, and now you got kind of excited about something totally different.
So what
is it now?
So one of my observations in the space is that the product continues to be speculation. And if speculation is the product, we end up with cryptocurrency being perceived by the broader market as a scam, with grifters coming in and running people, taking tokens, meltdowns of central exchanges, kind of the narrative that we're seeing today. I met Tara Fung, the CEO and founder of CoCreate, when I was hosting I was moderating a panel at a live music conference related to Web3. And we stayed in touch. CoCreate was a venture that was building a Web3 loyalty platform. Think infrastructure for brands and their agency partners in order to launch loyalty programs. And after they had been working on this for a couple of years, and I was at Unlock trying to help entrepreneurs build businesses on blockchains, it became very clear that a use case for consumer crypto that was non-speculative wasn't something that was out there. A majority of projects lead with the technology and with a promise of utility in the back. So what we're creating at CoCreate Inc. is the reverse of that. So it's offering true utility in the front and then technology in the back. And just to give you a bit of background on what we're doing, our goal is to really bring the artistry of tattoos into the digital age. So we're offering collectors as well as enthusiasts the access to these world-renowned artists and what they've created, working with 10 of the top tattoo artists around the world today. And what collectors are getting when they purchase from these artists is priority booking, as well as a digital certificate of authenticity for the pieces that they own. So blending tradition with technology, we're preserving the art's legacy, as well as opening up new avenues of monetization and personal expression for artists and these collectors. So ensuring that each one of these pieces is really telling a story that's lasting well beyond time and skin, without focusing on kind of blockchains in front. We're using blockchains in order to empower the experience, not creating friction or focus for a broader audience.
So it begs a lot of questions, but I'm just trying to think, not to jump directly into like tiny details, but so obviously I understand the part, and I think most of the listeners will understand the part where you buy some art from a well-known artist, most likely like an NFT, which means it's not necessarily one like unique piece. It can be additions, or you guys only focus on unique pieces. And I understand that, you know, you get a priority booking, but I assume that the tattooing itself is not part of the purchase, or is it? Because it would kind of, you know, then beg the question, what if you resell it and someone else wants the same tattoo because they now own it? A lot of interesting questions around tattoos. Sorry. So if you want to jump onto this, feel free. If you have another line of thought, just tell me.
No, I think your line of thinking is where what we're thinking about with our 10 founding artists who are also our partners in this entire endeavor. And if you think about tattooing today, tattooers are paid like plumbers. They're paid by the hour for their time. Mm-hmm. Many people that do tattoos are artists. They're creating designs. Many are multidisciplinary artists as well. Not just creating art, but sculptures, paintings, jewelry, sometimes even video creations. So how we're partnering with artists initially is giving them the ability to sell these designs. And the way that the process works is if you found a piece of art from one of our founding artists, let's say Snuffy, who is a brilliant artist based in the United States that's tattooed multiple celebrities. Snuffy has created designs that are available for purchase through Co-Create Inc. Once you purchase one of those designs, it comes with priority booking in order to get that tattoo applied. There's also a digital collectible on the other side. Okay. You, as a holder of that design, have the ability to do what you want with it. You can come and get the tattoo. You could resell the tattoo. It's under your control. Now, from an artist standpoint, they can create a design that they're excited about, and they can sell as many copies of that as they see fit. So many of our artists are doing one of one designs. Mm-hmm. There are one of five designs, one of 10 designs. There could be one of many designs based upon what that artist wants to control. Mm-hmm. The advantage for the artist is you're selling a design up front that can be redeemed and a design that you're pretty excited about too. That this is a piece of art that you've done and you're really looking forward to applying this tattoo in order to demonstrate what you've created.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So I assume you guys are in early stages, but I assume that there's gonna be a possibility to get the digital collectible without the wallet, buy the design without actually owning the wallet, because I think that's sort of assumed, like not putting the tech into your face. And for a lot of people, it's still like the barrier of entry. If you tell them, you have to set up a wallet, it's like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And we've had, it's early days, as you mentioned, but we're already seeing some success. Horimitsu, this brilliant artist from Japan, sold one of his digital designs that is non-redeemable very early on to someone that just really loved the art and wanted to not only support the artist, but kind of own that is one of his works. We have many artists now that are exploring digital collectibles that are non-redeemable, just pieces of their art that they would sell, just like any other artist would sell art online. Some of those could be kind of one of many. It could be one of one. It could be one of a few. Again, the artists have full control of how they want to monetize their work. It could be with their hands, with a machine, applying a tattoo, or it could be just the creation of their art. And we are going to explore a lot of different ways in order to enhance that monetization in the future.
So maybe I'll do a step back and I'll ask, why Co-Create Inc.? Like, why did you guys decide to focus on, the tattoo artistry and not any other, area, which I guess would, land itself? There's a ton of different art and there's a lot of other things where you could apply what Co-Create was probably building before.
Yeah. Well, if you take a look at industries and communities, so there are massive spaces where people are gathering. Think music, for example. People gather around concerts. They have affinities for bands. There's a lot of places for them to do that today. And although it's a massive industry, it's challenging to tap into. There's also other, like fashion, StockX, sneakers, things that people gather around or can get really excited about. There's art communities. Art Blocks would be an example of one where they're selling generative art in a really wonderful way. As it relates to tattoos, there really isn't a community where people can gather around this art. And if you take a look at the industry at large, just in the United States, it's predicted to be a $1.5 billion industry this year, growing to almost $5 billion in 2030. So it is a big space, and it's also very underserved. The business of tattooing hasn't changed much. As an artist, you have an Instagram profile now. People discover your art or you. Through that, they have the ability to book time with you. Much of that booking is occurring through emails. So you would email or DM an artist, and you would go back and forth, and you would share design ideas. And perhaps you'd put a deposit down for that artist's time. Maybe that artist would collaborate with you on a design prior to the session. Often you would come in for the session, and that's where that collaboration would take place. After that experience, you would agree to take part in a very vulnerable moment with that artist where you're going to sit next to them and they're going to take a needle and put it in your skin with ink that is going to be somewhat permanent. And then after that experience, that's really where it stops. So there's aftercare tips. Maybe you will come in order to get a touch up based upon how the ink is, how your body is reacting to the ink. But that's it.
Yeah.
The artist may take photos of your tattoo. They'll post that on their Instagram page or an Instagram story. Maybe you'll share that as a collector. You'll always have that moment to cherish, but that's as far as it goes. So what we're attempting to create is, how do we tap into these magical moments of relationships between an artist and a collector and kind of enhance those and go beyond where they exist today?
Yeah, it's actually true. I remember when I was agreeing on my tattoo, it was a long email exchange, a few phone calls. And and if you are getting a bigger tattoo, means several sessions, but after that, that's about it. And you have to be very, I would say, you have to trust a lot to the person which starts inking you. Otherwise, it's not a pleasant experience.
And that level of trust is so crucial in capturing the experience. I have many tattoos, and I'm actually getting many more as a result of this project. When I look at the art that's been applied to my body, the experiences of getting that art and the memories behind it makes me value those tattoos. I have a tattoo where the experience wasn't very good. I went in, the person rushed me through a process, they were wearing headphones. I remember that as being kind of just a subpar experience. I don't remember the artist's name. I have no connection to it whatsoever, except I have art on my body that is semi-permanent.
Right.
If you have that trust factor, and that's what we're creating at Co-Create Inc., the relationship starts with this idea that these are artists that you can actually trust. They've gone through a process. You can experience their work. You can see videos of them applying tattoos. You can really get a sense of who they are as a person, which is important because, as you mentioned, you could be sitting next to this person for a very long time, and you want to make sure you have that level of trust, and you want to make sure you like them because this is not only an investment in your time, but also kind of an investment in yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. So let me ask, what's the plan now? Like, which way you guys are planning to go, let's say, in 2024? Because, as every project, you can go in multiple directions depending on how things go, apparently. But is there a plan to onboard more artists? Are you guys starting from the top, which would totally make sense because, the I would say the tickets are higher, so it's easier to sustain the project. Is there, for example, a plan to actually allow art from artists who are not tattooing themselves, but, you know, are maybe someone likes, you know, the may like the art, and then somebody else would tattoo that thing? I know tattooers don't really like it, but it depends. So what are the next steps which would give some hints to the listeners of what they are looking into, what they can look forward to?
So we want to help tattoo artists make more money, and we want to open up new avenues of monetization in order to lead them down that path. So with our 10 founding artists right now, we're experimenting with different styles, different price points, different features and functionality in order to improve the sales rate of designs that are on the website, and really build trust and value around each one of these artists. Mm-hmm. In 2024, we will be expanding our roster of artists based upon kind of what we're seeing in the early days, because we want artists to come on the platform and be successful. Where this goes in the future in terms of adding additional inventory of art and the relationships that we're creating within our community is still to be determined. We're figuring out what that looks like. I know me, in my role of leading business development partnerships, I'm focused on identifying new and innovative ways that we can leverage the founding artists that we have to create value within existing communities. So think live tattooing at an event. So we would have an artist come in, they would do a charity auction, or we would make tattoos available prior to the event for a community. And then you as a community member could come to that event. You're going to receive a live tattoo in order to commemorate that experience. And kind of you just create those kind of unique and special moments that otherwise maybe they are aspirational for communities, but how can we help kind of facilitate a lot of those moments for people?
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds great. Not sure I would do the live event, but I know a lot of people who would, just for the for the fun of it. And yeah, and it doesn't have to be a Bored Ape tattoo. So art would be better, that's for sure.
Unless you're really into Bored Apes, and that is a community that you identify with. And during Ape Fest, you want to get either your ape, an ape, or kind of an artist's rendition of what an ape could represent. So we're exploring all these models. Mm-hmm. We don't know what will work yet, but we are excited about the possibilities, and we're exploring these to see what can really add value to communities.
Well, you know, I like the project, like, you know, co-creating. The nice part is there is a lot of nice visuals. Of course, you know, the art is in the eye of who's looking at it. But in principle, you know, it's one of these areas where there's a lot of visuals, and people generally tend to enjoy it. At least I do. So that's very cool. So is there already a plan for live tattoos on like South by Southwest or East Denver?
So we're having conversations with multiple communities, multiple organizers. We'll see. Nothing to announce here, but hopefully something here in the near future.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, is there anything which I forgot to ask, and it's really important and interesting, and you would like to, you know, give a shout out to something you guys are planning or you did, and people should check it out?
Yeah, so I would definitely say go to cocreate.inc. That's our website. You can sign up and browse not only our artists, but also all of their designs. In addition to that, if you just want to stay in touch with what we're doing, definitely sign up for our Ink Report newsletter. That's a way to, as we continue to grow and we're announcing new artists as well as new designs, a good way to keep up with what we're doing. Follow us on Instagram. Co-create Inc. Our social team is cranking out kind of fresh goodness on a regular basis related to our artists. There are style guides in terms of learning more about tattoos. There's video content around our artists with interviews, as well as demonstrating their individual and unique processes. So there's a lot of resources there in order to check out. And if you're interested in just learning more, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm Patrick Workman on all of the channels. So Twitter, Telegram, Discord, LinkedIn, fire away, Patrick Workman.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. I will, of course, include all the links in the show notes. And thank you very much for being here. This was really interesting. And maybe we can add some of the visuals so it would look nice when we shared the episode. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, amazing. I definitely appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity and have an amazing day.
You too. Bye. And that was it for today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to connect with my guest or if you're interested in some of the points that were discussed today, just check the show notes for links and don't forget to subscribe for future episodes. Also, if you are compelled, please leave a review. It helps others to find the podcast, and you can surely share it with your friends to save them the trouble of discovery process. I definitely hope you would do that for me. One more thing. From January 2024, there is an option for the interested collectors to mint the episode or just the episode's art, which is always uniquely created by me for each guest and project. So go check the show notes to find out more. Until next time, keep it colorful and stay positive, friends. Ciao.